to be your sanctuary. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be your living.
Amen.
Sanctuary, for
sing it unto him now.
Lord, prepare me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, but with thanksgiving, I'll be your living,
will you?
Sanctuary for you.
Amen and amen. Just make me a sanctuary. Is that your desire? Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you like to turn in your scriptures, turn to where we've been reading in 2 Peter 1. And we will also read from 1 John 3. Where, now remember, there'll be a baptismal service immediately after we get through this afternoon, and we will go down to Terrence's house there to have the baptismal service. And, you know, if anybody else comes along and wants to get baptized, we'll be sure glad to do it, because we're always interested in doing one thing. I love to baptize. That's where, you know, most of the places and the deacons or something in the church do the baptizing, but not here if I can do it. You know, I love to baptize people because it's a part of it. But you know, we'll just do that right after the service. And now we're glad to have our brother back with us, and he's here for a little stay and all. And Sister Anna and Brother Wilson's former pastor. And I always tell them that they're from Guyana, and they get after me about it, brother, because, you know, it's a joke between us, but they're from Kenya, and but we're glad to have him with us. And I wouldn't dare try to call his name, not that he couldn't tell me, and I couldn't remember it 2 minutes, but I'd forget it in the next two and couldn't remember to say it. But we're... Obadiah. Okay. Maybe I can remember that. Obadiah. Okay. And we're glad to have him with us and everything, and pray that the Lord would help him. I asked him to preach this afternoon, and he said no, he'd rather sit and rest and everything. And I hear that he's here on a vacation, but preachers never get a vacation. I've never seen a time to where you could or whatever you could do. So he has halfway committed to preach maybe a service for us next weekend. So, you know, if we can, Sister Anna, you may have to hog time, and Brother Wilson, but you know, that can be done too. See, he's in America. You know, you go over there, you might get kidnapped in Kenya. We can kidnap too. You know, we have our way of doing it, but we just want somebody to preach to us, because we believe in faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So we appreciate our brother coming to be with us, and you greet him after the service. I told him, I said, we'll give you a chance next weekend. He said, I want to sit down and listen. I said, well, we'll just give you a chance next weekend to straighten out what you hear. So that would be great, because I want the truth, don't you? I want to know the truth, and he is the truth. Amen? So let's pray before we read our scripture. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to come together this afternoon with our brothers and sisters of like precious faith, and we pray that you would just bless us with your presence, to not be an onlooker, a recorder of our lives or deeds or the day that we're living, but to be the preeminent one in our hearts and lives. Forgive our sins, because we know that we fail you constantly. And Lord, we're just trying our best to preach what the prophet has already brought unto us, the word of the hour. So help us now as we speak and we read your word. You come and honor your word, and just bring forth and manifest the things that you promised you would do in this day. It's not hard, as the prophet said, to pray for to get you to fulfill your word, because you are the word. And we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Very familiar with all of us. Of course, now this is the 10th service we're on it. But Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, not written to the world, right? Written to those that are in Christ Jesus, the same faith that Peter had. Now Peter's going to try to express how to grow development to where that he would be standing in the faith of the fathers, right? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. See the new birth, you have that. What? Beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith. Now, it didn't say add faith, because faith is the new birth. All right? So you don't add that. That is the birth. All right? And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, if I have one of those things, if I just have the new birth, then I'm not lacking that. That's speaking about someone else. All right? He that lacketh these things, if I have the new birth, I have faith. All right. 1 John 3, and just verse 2 for the thought. Beloved, now, not later, not up in heaven, not at a future date. 1 John 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. I know we've been on this topic now for a while. This is about the 10th message, and I'm real slow and everything, and I think slow and I preach slow. That's the best way that I can do it. That way I can think about it. I was there in Brazil. I really had a good time in doing that, because I could think about what I had said and think about what I was going to say while they were interpreting what I had said. So that turned out pretty good, you know, because I'm a slow thinker. But now, we've been talking about the stature of a perfect man. And we know that, as I was saying there, Peter says, the Bible's not written to the world. It's written to those that are in Christ Jesus. The world can't comprehend the Bible. Right. See, it's carnal to them, because it's just words to them. Right. See, but it's written to those that are in Christ Jesus. All right? And in doing that, Peter said, I received the faith, but I received more than just a new birth. I received an experience with God because of being tutored for 3.5 years. And said, now, we that are the original from the upper room experience have the faith of the fathers, as we'd call it. No. The doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we know that you are babies, as Paul would say, and Peter talking about babes, desiring the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And they would, like Wade was saying last night, maybe they asked him, you know, said, we know you've been in the way, Peter. We know that you're walking in a position that we're not in. So someone maybe said to Peter, how do we get to where you are? See, you seem to have such a faith, a virtue, a knowledge, a temperance, a patience, and all, and a godliness and a brotherly kindness about you. And we want to be where you're at. So he said, okay, hey, here's the way, you know. Add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance. He's then teaching those, because that's what it's supposed to be. The husbandman must be first partakers of the fruit, that he may be able to teach others. If not, he's doing as Brother Branham said. There was a man came to him one time, you know, and he said, I wrote a book about the day of Pentecost and things, something to that degree, and said, I wrote it because of what some other people said. But said, we don't have what you have, you know. And you remember, he said, well, you're Lutherans, you've got a little chute, you've got something, but now here's what you need. And they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost right there from his few minutes of talking to them. And see, that's what Peter's doing now, to try to show us as babies how to receive these things. And see, that key to that was lost, because that's what the knowledge that we were on, you've lost the key of knowledge. See, we did down through the ages of the understanding of, say, the stature of a perfect man. All right. And that had to be restored. Well, God sent a prophet to where that he could speak to them. He could not speak and bring anyone else up to this position because there was no one to teach them how. But he, being a prophet, could be brought up. Just as I've always tried to illustrate it, that, see, here comes Paul, and he just, for a very little time with Peter and them, but yet he goes to the backside of the desert, 3.5 years, he comes out, he's teaching the same doctrine. See, God took him out there and taught him, and they were identical in doctrine when they came back. See, because Paul was the prophet of the time, of the age, of where he was, you know. All right. See, then Brother Branham would be able to climb this position and stand there in 62 preaching the stature of a perfect man, and said, I've been 30-something years in preaching this message, trying to bring these things. He says, fill me up, Lord, that I may teach others, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. That's in the stature of a perfect man, you know, to bring these virtues into being. He said, we must have these virtues. Now, I mean, if we're content to just be happy and coast along and die and go by the grave, we can say, well, we're born again. See? But yet, if we're planning on ever getting out of this world in a rapture, in a change, see, then we're going to have to get to a position to be able to receive rapture in faith, to be able to hear from God what we need of. Well, this is the way, but this has been lost seemingly in the ministers of the message, because you don't hear them anymore preaching about faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. They're just up so high in the great big rims and out way off somewhere, you know, and great revelations and things. Well, all right, I believe in that, but how'd you get out there? That's all I want to know. How'd you get out there? Well, this is the seventh seal. This is the headstone. Okay, amen. But how did you get there? Because, see, I might not be at that place. So I want to know the secret, you know, to be able to comprehend, to be able to climb. And like I've told you, then a natural baby growing is a type of a spiritual baby that grows. You keep putting the baby food in the baby, it don't grow extra limbs, it just pushes out what's within it. See? And it develops, alright? So is it with a spiritual baby? See? When you're born again, yes, you're born again, you have eternal life. Amen. We believe that. You have a portion of this virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, and that. Sure. Alright? But yet it's not in the manifestation. So we need someone to teach us the word. Because only by the word being taught to us, not preaching what we call in America 6 or 7 sermons, in other words, every other service, the same old sermon, and just beat the people and try to make them line up and all like that. Is your life worthy of the gospel? You know. And I believe in living right. I believe, as I said this morning, if you don't live right, you're lost. That's as plain as I can be, because like I said this morning about the new birth should have taken care of the old uncontrollable tempers we had. If it didn't, you don't have the new birth. Well, brother, I still got this problem of this, that, or the other. Well, maybe you need a new birth. These things in the stature of a perfect man, like temperance. Temperance is not to stop drinking alcohol, the prophet said. But he said it's that temper you have. But it's not an uncontrollable temper that you just can't, you know, you just can't hold it. No, that should have went out with a new birth. Alright? Our lives should have straightened up with a new birth. That's why the prophet said we baptized too many sinners. Because they haven't repented. You remember the lady, she was coming out there when he was baptizing on, I believe it was when the angel appeared, but anyhow on the Ohio River. And he said, this lady come walking out, and she was just laughing kind of like. He said, you turn around and go back and repent. You know, she just wouldn't. He saw she wasn't serious. He said, you go back and repent. Why? Because it meant something. See, we're not playing church. We are the church. All right. Now, the body of believers. But see, we're talking about temperance. That's it. The prophet said how to control your tongue. Not be a tattler. I gave you all of these quotes and things. And if they will, if you'll make sure the brother has a copy of all of the... make sure he has a copy of the notes of what we've been doing so he can take them with him and then he'll see what we do. And we just run off what the prophet said and then we can just read it. Thank God for that. But now, see, we've talked about temperance, how to control your tongue, keep from tattling. All right. Patience. That was where we was this morning on patience. What? The prophet said, be patient with God. Well, see, we think patience is tribulation worketh patience. You know? So we'll just get us a stick and start hitting each other and beating each other and we'll bring on tribulation. You know? No, that don't bring that. That might bring some need of patience. That might bring some temperance into view. You know, of needing some control. But the thing of what we're doing, see, is he said, be patient with God. Right. And when you ask God for something, be patient to wait. Right. Wait until he answers it. Right. And then he said, being patient with one another. Right. The pastor being patient with the congregation, congregation being, you know, patient with the pastor, because that will help and bring everything into view. I was laughing a while ago when the brother said it to Sister Ananim. He used to be her pastor, and I said, well, that was, you know, they were over in Kenya, and if he was over in Kenya, he was her pastor, and she's over here, and we're the pastor and Brother Wilson there, then I guess that makes him and I pastors-in-law. You know, he brought them so far, we take on, and if they go back, then he takes over, and it's all right, because God, the Word, is the head anyway. Man is not the head of this thing. God is the head of it if it's a real true church. All right? And will manifest itself that way. All right. But now, we got through, as I told you, we got through patience. Now we've come up to where that we talk about godliness. Add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness. Godliness. The prophet said that he looked in many dictionaries to try to find the definition of godliness. And he says, godliness, and he said, what is that? He said, it means to be like God. That was his definition. Now, to be like God. You say, but we can't do that. Well, now, right there, you know for certain you need knowledge. Right? You need knowledge to believe that you can achieve what God says you can. Why would he say we could? Someone can have these things. Why can't we say we can have them? All right? So the title of the message is godliness, but it's put to be like him, because that's what we want to be. The prophet said if there's any song he ever heard sung was the greatest of all was to be like Jesus, to be like him, see? All right. Now, godliness. What does godliness mean, he said? It means to be like God. Well, that's just simple, like, right? See, that was what caught me when I began to read the message. I had studied the Bible for many, many years there, you know, just reading and studying the Bible. But then I'd heard these men speak, and I had read commentaries, etc., you know, and I always had these swelling, great swelling things, you know, and big old words that they was trying to use. And you know, it just, I'd have to get a dictionary to maybe look up what they were saying. And here comes a man along, and he's speaking in my language. Hey, you got a 7th grade education, and I got a 9th grade. I thought, man, we're both illiterate. But I can at least understand him. He's talking about cows and horses and mules. And he talks about that old mule out there being hard-headed. Man, I was found one when I was 7 years old. And I can well remember them suckers as hard-headed as could be. You know, a good horse would just work like everything. The old mule, you just got to make him do what he's doing. and all, but he just don't have no common sense about him. He'll work, but you got to make him work. But now listen, when I heard him talking about God in the way that he spoke, then I could comprehend. See? As I told you this morning, we talk about revelation. Oh, the seals are deep. The Daniel 70 weeks is deep. The marriage and divorce, the thing like that. Oh, that's deep. No, it's not. It's simple when it's revealed. But now until it's revealed, it cannot be comprehended. So how can you make it deep? You remember the story of the man that went up with the big swelling words, and then he come down all tuckered out and over, and the man standing there looked at him and said, if he'd have went up like he come down, said he'd have come down the way he went up. Why? Because it's not how great swelling something we can make it. A revelation is simple. You know, what would the scholars do to take, what's godliness? Well, they'd go all the way through the scriptures, and we'll use a few in a minute, but they try to make some comprehension of something like that. And it would make it so far away or so, you know, so big above you until you'd never be able to attain unto it. But the prophet, he said, now what is godliness? That's to be like God. Yeah, but we're mortal. How can we ever be like God? Because he told us. Now, if he said for us to be like him, right, then the prophet said, it's like he goes on to using the word in Matthew 5:48, of be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. The prophet one time saying that, he said, now, if God required us to be perfect, then he had to make a way. And he said he did through his death and the resurrection and sending back the Holy Ghost. Well, how are we going to be like God? By receiving the very life of God. And letting that life of God be made manifest through us. Until we can walk in it. And see, he goes on to tell you that they said here in the Bible, said, you are gods to whom the word come to. Well, why would it be any trouble to talk about it? But see, we're so trained. Amen. You know, amen. Sometimes I get so, my patience gets tried, to think about us mortal human beings in the way we do. You read a newspaper. All right. You go home today and you read the newspaper. All next week, you're talking about what you read in the newspaper that says gasoline is going to be $5, $6, $10 a gallon in another few weeks. And you just accept that. Right? You just accept that as being true. Right? And it's like I always say about in the garden and what took place. I mean, you read in the newspaper that John and Mary went to an island by themselves. Two of them, they come back, and there were four of them. You know, you read that in the newspaper. Well, you know, nobody don't have no problem figuring out what took place. I mean, it's only two went, four come back. We know what happened. But you put Adam and Eve in the garden by themselves. I had a while they come out, there's four of them. I wonder what took place. They must have ate an apple. That's what I'm telling you. Our human minds are geared to the basis of reading something and believing what we read. See, that's where Hitler, that's where he was at. He used propaganda. Control the minds of the people with the media to tell them that they were winning the war when they were losing. And he kept them fighting right to the last. But we make fun of that and say, oh, he just controlled their minds. Well, like Brother Brown said, you put an honest person in the office, There'll be a crook and they come out. Why can't we believe that? But yet we want to take up for every one of the something, you know. But now, listen, what am I getting to? We can read and we'll say, that's right. In other words, it becomes law. Right? But then we read the Bible. I don't know what that means. Right? We read the Bible, which is God's Word, and God telling us something, and we say, I don't know what that means. Yeah, that's deep. But yet we can read any other newspaper and tell you all of what it means. See, what's wrong with the human mind? We truly need to have Holy Ghost knowledge. Amen. Holy Ghost temperance. Holy Ghost patience. Amen. To believe what God says. Amen. He says, Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. Right. If he requires that, he's got to make a way. Somebody can do it. Amen. Why can't we say we're it? Right. All right, that's where we don't believe it. But yet we have all kind of knowledge. Like I said this morning, we've studied the message. We've got a lot of mental knowledge. You know, mental. In your brain. We can quote Brother Branham just every which way. But yet, we don't have the simple knowledge that if Matthew 28:19 doesn't contradict Acts 2:38, we say, oh no it don't, because the prophet said it. Why couldn't we say that for the prophet said it? Because is it just a quote? Is this message just quotes? No, it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. All right. Why can't we believe that? Brother Dale, you think you're perfect? Jesus said I was. You argue with him. Well, I don't think you are because I see you do wrong. So what? I see you do wrong. Does that solve anything? No. But believe in what God says. In the Old Testament, when you went up there and you took that lamb and you laid that lamb down and that lamb died, you had to go away believing that lamb was dying for you. And that lamb took your place. All right? And if you did, you went away free. And how much more should we believe of God Almighty coming down in human flesh to live among us, to give his life, to pay the price that you and I could walk forth? Not just forgiven for what we do, but to walk forth as perfect. You said, but I just can't see we're perfect. Well, then you can't believe what God says. See, I'm not dependent upon what I am, and I'm not in no way dependent upon what you are. I'm dependent upon what God said. All right? Now, the prophet never said anything contrary to what God said. That's why I believe what he says. But had he said contrary to the Bible, then I would have said, hey, forget it. He's not the prophet of God. Remember, I told you the man that introduced me to the message, Brother Mold, I said, I wasn't there. You seen the dead raised. You seen the sick healed. Thank God. But I said, you tell me what he taught in the Bible. And I'll know whether or not he's a prophet. Well, I thank God for a man that had the ability to express a lot of things. All right. But now, see, what is godliness? To be like God. Do you think... Now... Of course, now, you got two things to consider right now. When I make this statement, you're going to automatically click in your brain. You're going to try to think spiritual. Or act spiritual. So just don't amen. Just leave this thought I make. Just don't comment. If you'd have been back there and saw the Lord Jesus run them out of the temple and heard all of the sermons that he preached about how bad those Pharisees and Sadducees were and how they were all going to die and go to hell, whose side would you have been on? That's what I ask you. Just don't amen. Because you want to be so spiritual, you say now. See, oh yeah, now, brother. Now I know. But what about before you ever heard of this message, what would you have said? Oh no, I was a Presbyterian. I would never have believed that Jesus could ever do wrong. I don't believe he done wrong. But I believe he got upset. I believe he drove them out of the temple. That didn't do wrong. He was doing right. He become a guard. He become a deacon. To correct the church. Right. Alright. See, because he's all things to all men. But you think about it back when you was a sinner. What was your thoughts about? If I had to come to you and laid out a layout in front of you, you know, of how bad this looks. You ever heard the story told of Apostle Paul that they had an application for him to go be pastor of a church? You heard that story, hadn't you? This man come in and said, we got a man we want to consider to be pastor. Said, we're going to read off some of the things he done. Said he killed a lot of people. Said he's blasphemed. And said he's done all these things. And said, ain't nothing but a jailbird. Spent his life in jail. Said, would you take him as pastor? No. No. See, that was the Apostle Paul that was writing about. We look at it, I'm not trying to degrade. I'm trying to get it into a thought. Our minds a lot of times of God is so high until we don't give him the opportunity to be able to have lived among us and walked here among us. And experience the things of life. Alright. Then godliness, to be like God. To be like God. There he was walking on earth. That was God, wasn't it? In flesh. But yet you look at him and you say, I just can't see how that could be God. Because look at him with that whip. Running in people out there. Well, I've heard people in this message, I can call names, that said that they could prove by the Greeks and this, that, and the other, and arguing that Jesus beat the animals, not the people. I said, my Lord, man, you made it worse. See, they thought that Jesus beat the animals. I said, you made it a worse situation. Why? I said, because the animals didn't have any problem. They couldn't help being in there. You mean he's beating the animals, not beating humans? I said, man, I'm sorry, that's why I'm not popular. Because that's just the way I talk, plain. If you think Jesus was beating the animals, you're worse off than he was to beat the humans. The humans put the animals in there. There's no sin in the animal. Alright. He was driving out them people. He didn't have to whip the animals to get them out. They was running like everything. But alright, there was God. And do we believe that Jesus was perfect? Think about it. Do you believe that Jesus was perfect? Then perfection might not be the way that we see it. Excuse my voice. This old sinus is an afternoon. If I holler very much, I get, like that little boy said, I shouldn't be hollering in the church, I guess. So maybe I ought to calm down some and save my voice. But listen. It takes perfection to talk about godliness. Amen. Right? You agree with that statement? It takes perfection to talk about godliness. Right. And see, then trying to achieve unto a place might be easier than we think. If we take the correct approach to the situation and look at it in the right understanding, that here's a man, and it goes on down in there where I gave you the notes, the prophet says it. Stand there, and it smite him on one cheek, he turned the other one. The same man that done that took a whip and drove him out. Now, which one made him godly? What would be your determination of how his godliness would be displayed? I say his godliness was displayed in both accounts. But see, we look at him as a God of love. Just remember, when you turn down love, you're the one that brings the things upon you, not that God does it. Is it not true the prophet said man destroyed this world? Yet the Bible said God did. The prophet said man destroyed. He said God don't have to do it. Man just does it. You know, back with the flood. But do you understand? If it's godliness, requires godliness to be perfect, or perfect to be godly, then there must be a way that can be done without crossing boundary lines of life or something that would, you know, say, well, that person's not of God. Look at him. Look what they've done. And by what standard would you choose to use? Because if you use your old standard of unregeneration, you would de-Christianize even the Lord Jesus himself. But to be like God, godliness. Turn the other cheek. But like I've always said, the same man that drove him out of the temple went up and hung on the cross for every one of them and said, even to his own kin folks, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. But see, that was God. That was God manifested in flesh. That same God one day will destroy the sinner. Will he lose his perfection to do that? When this is all over and the day of judgment comes and the sinner is annihilated, will God be unjust for doing that? I'm trying to get you to look at godliness in a way instead of like a human being looks at it, or what we think is so super of our duper revelation we got about it. We say, oh, Aunt Sudie. Now, if there's anybody that was godly as old Aunt Sudie, you know, she's just a wonderful, sweet old Aunt Sudie. I hope nobody ain't got an aunt about me. But Aunt Sudie, she's just wonderful and sweet. Said, never seen nothing in my life that she done wrong except dip her snuff. Maybe cuss every once in a while. Drunk a little liquor, but she was a perfect woman. See? You see what kind of a doings we're doing? Right. We're trying to build something up.
That's right. Amen.
Just accept it like it is. What is godliness? To be like God. Right. What would God do in a situation?
Right.
What would he do today if he was here? Like one man said about his pastor, said if Brother Branham come back right now, he'd sit down and listen to his pastor preach. Well, I don't think so, because I believe the man's off the word, but and like the man said about Paul, said old Paul, if he's back here, said old Paul would be driving a Cadillac if he's here today. This other brother got up and said, Paul back here now, he'd be in jail for tonight. You know, before it gets dark. Well, that'd be the truth. But you see, it's whatever we judge it by. And it's always easy to justify our kinfolks. Right? Is that true? You know. Well, it's wrong for your family to do it, but my family, they had other reasons. There's no need of doing anything. Just be truthful. But as long as we have the carnality of the human, and we're going to have that until the change comes. Just because you're born again doesn't get rid of the carnal mind, because that's up here. The mind that is transformed is inside of you. Let the mind that was in Christ be in you, not in your brain. That's your soul. That's your being. That's where the new birth starts from. And until the day comes of that change and we walk off this earth. Like I've always said, I've always been kind of comical, and I don't mean to be, but sometimes the way I preach, I have to be a little bit to keep you from being so dull. But probably when we go up, I'll look back and say, nah. Wish y'all could go with me. You know? Because we're going to be human. I'm just trying to express it. Like I told you this morning, Brother Branham, the day he had the wreck, was upset because that Rebecca had stayed in Tucson and not been in the car that she was supposed to have been in. I didn't say he got mad. I said he's upset. See, we look at those things and we de-Christianize each other. And then we put God so far over yonder into some kind of a realm until we'll never be like him. Well, let's do one thing. I wish that we could do one thing. I wish, this is my goal, all right? Is not to look at God up there and try to be in that image, or look at Brother Branham and be in the image, or look at the Lord Jesus and be in the image. Because the image can be an exact likeness, which can get problems. It can be good or bad. I want us to be God manifested. That's what I believe the Bible's talking about. God made manifest again upon the earth. Walking in a bride. We talk about little messiahs. We talk about little Christ. You know, God chose us. He must have thought something about us to choose us. Well, why can't we accept what he says about us? If he says you're perfect by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, why can't you say that? And then understand why Paul would get over in Hebrews 6 and leaving the principles, leaving the don't stay on the new birth all the time, but to go on to perfection. Go on to the headstone. Go on to perfect love. Amen. Yeah, but nobody ain't got perfect love. The church we come from, that was what they said, you know. Nobody ain't got perfect love. Nobody ain't been, nobody will go beyond, nobody but Brother Branham could be on the, behind the, go past the curtain of time. And I can't help it if I had a memory of what the prophet said. So I just showed the brother two places where Brother Branham's first girlfriend was beyond the curtain of time. So she must have had perfect love. The 90-year-old woman that was converted in Brother Brown's ministry was beyond the curtain of time. But see, his idea was nobody was perfect. Only Brother Branham was perfect. But you see, if God says you're perfect, you're perfect. Abraham lied, gave his wife away, all kind of things. But what God say about him? What God say about him? Said he's perfect. And that was under the blood of bulls and goats. Now, then we get to the point you got to express something because people go the wrong way. I don't believe in living like the devil and claiming to be perfect. Now, there's something wrong with your mentality, let alone your revelation. To live like the devil and claim to be perfect. No, uh-uh. Well, it don't matter what I do. God don't look at that. He look at my sacrifice. That ain't nothing but Baptist doctrine. Eternal security. Once saved, always saved. That's no more than we taught there. I didn't agree with it then. Don't agree with it now. We are human beings and we will have problems. But we don't have to glory in our problems. We glory in the God of what he says about us. Take what God says and believe it. Brother Branham, I remember praying one day, he said, God, it's not hard for me to pray for you to keep your word. What about a man who can talk to God like that? It's not hard for me to pray for you to keep your word. He turned around and said, if you can find it in God's word, now it's almost a paraphrase quote, I'll be glad to find it for you. That if you can find it in the Bible, and said you can call God on the scene, and said, if he don't do that, you can call him a liar. Brother Branham. Evidently, Brother Branham was like Paul. Paul was so stern, he said, you'll be judged by my gospel. Why? Because he knew he had the truth. See, I'm just trying to say what Brother Branham says.
Right.
I'm trying to say what the Bible says.
Right.
About godliness.
Amen.
To be like God. Let's just read a few scriptures. God, we generally spend time preaching, but we don't get into reading scriptures. Now, don't go through your notes trying to find these. Just bear with me, because you'll never catch up with me on trying to find out where they are. Because you see how I got it together, so don't worry about it. What I'm telling you, I just gave you those long quotes that I gave you today are scriptures. All right, you read those things and you look at the heading of what. It's not got a heading. It's not in perfect order laying out in front of you. I tried my best to put all of the scriptures about patience together, temperance together, brotherly kindness together, faith together, but you may find them all over the pages. Because I was up there this morning just running these things like crazy, saying, well, I'll keep my word and try to take them to the people. Because these are the things I wrote in my Bible years ago about the stature of a perfect man. So, you know, if you find it, fine. You can follow along. But if you don't, just listen. Godliness. What is godliness? We say, oh, it's to be like God. Okay. 1 Timothy 6:11. Now, don't try to turn your Bible to find them. Just if you want to jot them down, you got them in those notes. I'm just telling you. You're going to get tied up and you won't be listening. 1 Timothy 6:11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Follow after godliness. 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness. That's what people do. Now they have a form of godliness. Now, what is a form of godliness? That's not a morphy form. Having a form of godliness, there's a lot of people in this world that are good people. There are a lot of religious people in this world that have a form of godliness. So godliness is not a great thing that can't be attained. If they can have a form of it, why can't we have it? Right? All right. Titus 1:1. Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Second Peter 3:11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? I don't have any problem using the word godliness talking about us. Godly and godliness relates in the same word, right? So when you're reading it, going through what I gave you about it. All right, listen. 1 Timothy 2:2. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy 2:10. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Why? Because it's got to be revealed to you. We only take it as the life part. But great is the mystery of godliness. It's a mystery. But it's what God has said about you and I. God was manifest in flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Now we know that when he was manifest in flesh, who he was, we know he was justified in the spirit, we know he was seen of angels, but when was he preached unto the Gentiles? By the Gentiles. Come on. Connects it right over to you, doesn't it? 1 Timothy 4:7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. All these scriptures about godliness. 1 Timothy 4:8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. 1 Timothy 6:3. And if any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. 1 Timothy 6:5. Perverse, disputing, the men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from which withdraw thyself. So we know it's not gain or nothing, right? 1 Timothy 6:6, he continued on, but says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, if God says that much about godliness, besides using the things or just saying godly, those that live godly in Christ Jesus, godly, and he speaks of that, that would be the same as godliness, wouldn't it? Read those scriptures. Study about godliness. And see what God is saying. Why would he speak so much about godliness if we can't do it? Professing, he said, godliness, even to you women. Just going about every day being a Christian. You sisters are the greatest testimony to the world that's ever been. Us men, we just all look the same. Doesn't matter anyway. Put a suit on or wear blue jeans. Doesn't make no difference. But you sisters going out with your long hair and you no paint on your face and stuff like that and your dresses and all dressed and look holy and everything. So you're going to be a witness. Why? Because you're professing godliness. What are you saying? Listen, church. See, we can talk about the sisters better maybe than we can and others because of the way it fits in, but what are you sisters saying? Why do you do that? Why do you dress like you do? Why do you not cut your hair? Why do you not paint your face? Why do you not do those things like that? Why? Is it because Brother Branham said it? Is it because Brother Dale says it? Is it because the Bible says it? Or is it because something on the inside of you is manifesting outwardly? Well, wouldn't that be professing godliness? Come on, you're saying God, if God was a woman, it's the way he'd live, it's the way he'd do, it's the way he'd look. And God is looking back at it and saying, amen. That's why you'll be a testimony. You'll be a witness of the people that is around you. But now if you're doing that as a hypocrite, you get your reward. You get your reward if you're doing it as a hypocrite. You get the glory of man. But if you're just doing it because that you love God, because there's something inside of you that just says, this is my nature. This is my ways. I don't have to do this. But I want to do it. I want to live right. I want to be right and show people the love of God that's in my heart. See, professing godliness. Because I said that great is the mystery of godliness. See, God now is manifested in flesh. In your flesh. Living and showing the life of God. See, that's the way we should live. Then it's like I say to everybody, and listen on the internet, make sure it don't cut off right here. Because see, I drank all the liquor I want to. I run around with all the women I want to. I lie, cheat, and steal all I want to. You know why? Because I don't want to. That's simple, isn't it? I don't want to. But you see, godliness is to be like God. To just walk and be a Christian. Is that a hard thing to do? I know you sisters, especially, and the men do the same thing, but it's just more outwardly seeing in a sister. But I know when you first started and your hair started coming down and your dresses and all, you were thinking about, oh man, I've got to put these clothes on, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. And then, but after a while it just turned out to be, a life. And oh yes, we can use all kind of excuses. They told my wife years ago that her headaches could be caused possibly by her long hair pulling her neck back, you know, making her head hurt. Well, the doctor said now that, but what did God say? What did he say? It's not trying to act like a Christian. That doesn't make you godly. You see people out there, and you don't understand, you know what I'm saying, you see people that look godly, live godly and all, that really that you'd like to be like them, right? But just go talk to them about the Word. Just talk to them about the Word. And you'll see that they won't agree with it. Well, then there's something wrong. It's an outward appearance. There's a lady down at Maysville there that she was an old fire baptized there, what they called it. Used to be there in Maysville years ago. And she's up now older than I am. And you see her today, she still dresses, does her hair just exactly like she did when she was probably 20. You know, or less. You know. All right. But she won't have this message. She's heard about it. Don't tell me she hasn't. She knows about the things, but why won't she move? Good people in this world. Wonderful people. But you talk to them about the Word just a little bit. Because, see, that's the other side of the story. We can live like and act like a Christian, act like godliness, and it not be God at all, but be our own human self-righteousness. That won't do us a bit of good. It's just filthy rags in the front of God. And that's why I try to tell you sisters, when you come into the message and see your hair is short, you've been cutting your hair and you've been doing, and you say, but Brother Dale, my hair just won't grow. I said, just don't cut it. You know, if it never grows, don't worry about it. You know. Yeah, but I want long hair. Well, the day you got born again and you decided not to cut your hair because God revealed it to you, your hair is just as long as any woman's hair in the world. You get there beyond the curtain of time, yours will be just as long as anybody else's will be long. But it is in God right now if you truly mean it. The day you see it and say, I'm not going to cut it no more, it's just as long as anybody else's is long now. Because that's what God says about it. But you see, godliness. To be like God. As I said last night, we're talking about the kids wearing this, you know, what would Jesus do? Alright? But then you see them out here taking dope, smoking dope and pot and doing all kind of things, and they got the armband on. What would Jesus do? Now Jesus wouldn't do that. The life we display shows what kind of godliness. Because if our life doesn't show our godliness, we're not professing godliness. We're professing quotes, trying to say the prophet said, the Bible says. But just let God come inside. Just let Him come in and live. And you'll see that it'll be made manifest. Why? Because, see, you come all the way up to here, to godliness, without being required. Go read the quote right there in front of you, the prophet said. That He brought you all of this way to godliness, and He's talking about perfection. He said, now He requires you to be perfect. Well, He didn't require you to have an understanding of perfection when you was born again. Come on now, let's quote Him. If He's right, and He said that, and I believe Him, and He said you come all this way before you talk about perfection. Well, when you got born again, He didn't expect you to do that. When you got virtue, you wasn't expected to understand perfection. When you got knowledge, that you think, boy, knowledge, Brent, no. You got knowledge that the Word don't contradict. He still ain't saying that you're perfect. You got temperance to control your temper. He still doesn't say you're perfect. You got patience. Look like a pretty good person. But He still doesn't say you're perfect. But see, when you get to dealing with godliness, He said, all right, now, God says you're perfect. Will you ever do wrong? Yep, every day. Brother Branham, do you sin? He said, every day. But you see, you come up through the stature of a perfect man and you come out to the place that then you're not looking at your own self. Now come on, babies, look at what goes on. Right? Children, look at what goes on. They see somebody do something. Oh, look at that. But you let them grow up a little while. And they look at the children, they look at someone else and they say, look what they're doing. But then they think, you know, I'm doing a lot too. It begins to develop into a life. That's what the stature of a perfect man is. It's a life. It's the life of Jesus Christ dwelling in you. It's His divine nature, the prophet said, given unto us. By the studying of God's Word is the way we receive it. How does the natural baby grow? By eating food. How does a spiritual baby grow? Like I said this morning, under most of the preachers of this message, you'd die of malnutrition. I'm not throwing off on you. I'm telling the truth. That's not lying or throwing. I'm not throwing no stones. God gave me what He gave me. Whatever I have, He gave it to me. I know that. And I don't throw off on somebody else because that's up to them. Let's see if I can find it. Let's see if that's in the one I was doing there. All right. Hang on just a minute. All right. Go over on your notes to number 24, which is page 45, Stature of a Perfect Man. Somebody said not long ago, said, how can you believe these things the way you do and go to the assemblies of God and the oneness, all the rest of them? Now listen to it. Well, see, brotherly kindness. See, hoping someday. See, patience with Him. See, temperance, enduring with Him. Knowledge to understand what He believes. And remember, it's in His heart. That's what it is. Virtue in yourself to let it go out with kindness, meekness to Him, having faith that someday God will bring him in. Brotherly kindness to seven. Now he said that's how it worked in him. That's how he put up with people. Because those things were there in manifestation in his life. Well, don't you think it's about time it to be made manifest in our lives? Not to just put up with anything. Come on, brother. Not to just put up with anything. I can't go on into, if I go into brotherly kindness, we'll be here to 5 o'clock. So we'll take it to next service. Right? But see, take those things that I gave you today about the Scriptures. As I said, look at what the underlying heart is there. It'll say faith and it's underlined, or love or brotherly kindness or you know, charity or virtue, and read those things related to the services that we're having. I just happened to see that in the back of where I'd written it down probably 30 years ago on the Stature of a Perfect Man, and put them in there and covered them over with tape where I could keep them. That was the Scriptures I was studying on. These are the Scriptures of godliness that I used in preaching in, back when Brother Moat was preaching in 1971. And we went on from there preaching on these things. And that was the things we were reading and studying, those Scriptures. Because I believe in putting what the prophet said in the Bible. I don't believe, excuse me, let me restate that. I don't believe in putting it in the Bible. I believe it is the Bible. All right? Now, but what I mean by it is, I believe in taking our thoughts that we have and look in the Bible to see if they're right or wrong. And use the Bible as a judgment rod to see if what our thoughts is right. And if we're required to be perfect, God made a way. If He didn't, why'd He put in the Bible for? Like the people of the message say, we don't have to understand the seals. We don't have to understand marriage and divorce. We don't have to understand Daniel's sin. Why'd the prophet preach it? If it's not for somebody, why'd the prophet preach it? But see, it's looking at it too deep, but not seeing the very simplicity. A brother made this statement one time years ago. He said, that adoption that the prophet talked about, he said, that's simple. He said, that stature of perfect man is deep. I never will forget Brother Moat and I looking at each other. Because adoption is the stature of a perfect man, and the stature of a perfect man is adoption. But see, he said one of them was simple and the other one couldn't be understood when they're both teaching the same thing. And it just, you know, you just, okay, they don't understand. They don't understand. But see, you and I don't have an excuse. More given, more required. No excuse. We can't lay on that. Well, we don't understand. No, we can't lay on that. If I miss this thing, hell's waiting on me. Because there ain't no second place for me. I don't look to be a foolish virgin or anything like that. I'm not looking into that. I'm looking into glory. I'm not thinking that maybe I'll get to heaven one day. No, I believe heaven is here. And that ain't no doctrine like the millennium is here. I'm talking about the spiritual extent within inside of you that heaven is here on earth. That's why Jesus could stand there and say the kingdom is within. Where? It was within Him. He was the kingdom. God is here living in His bride. We don't have to go to heaven to be perfect. God says we are. So let's say what He says. All right, let's stand. Think on these things. We're going to run down and have a baptismal service. 116, Red Book. Some glory on Calvary to save the wretch like me. Did he? Heard an old. I heard it. I heard a message telling me that I could be. The prophet said, just as perfect as God is by being in Jesus Christ. What about being as perfect as God is? But he said, by being in Jesus Christ. So that ain't something I'm trying to do. It's what I can believe. It's due. He plunged me to victory. Anybody have a need? The altar's open. Heard about the feeling of His cleansing God. Revealing. Heard. Did you hear about it? Did you believe it? Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And some Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory. Let's believe it. Our sister's having problems. Let's believe all is well. What would God say if He was here and a sister come to Him? He would say, it's already done. I've already paid the price. I've already done everything. All you got to do is believe it, right? Wouldn't that what He'd say? See, we don't want Him to get back up on a tree and die again. He'd say, you believe it. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we condemn this sickness under the blood of our Savior. And knowing that by Your stripes our sister is healed, and we just confess it and believe with her. Now as she goes to the doctor, let all be well, because we believe You. In Jesus' name, amen. Go let the doctor tell you well. Anybody else? He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Victory in Jesus, my Savior. You believe it? Anybody else? Love me right new, and all my love this due. Punch me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Amen. Sister, what is her name? With the babies? Shanae. Sister Shanae, they were supposed to be here today and have their babies dedicated, but something must have went wrong. But she did say that she wanted to, within a few months or a few times, weeks or something, they wanted to have their wedding vows renewed. So we just say to everybody, you know, we've done that many times before. We say to you, here's an opportunity to come and have your wedding vows renewed. We just all stand up here at the front. And we don't go through a long thing. We just make a simple form out of it, but renew your wedding vows, because I think that ought to be done. You know, it'd be good to do. I remember the story of hearing them in a church, a couple, you know, making their vows to one another. Been married many years, but making their vows to one another. And so if you want your renew your vows, we, and on doing that, now I know this don't go good with people, but I don't ask questions. I just, on wedding vows renewals, I just renew the vows. That don't mean I'm marrying you and I'm not doing anything contrary to the word. If you got the problem, you got the problem, and you got to work it out. I'm just doing the wedding vows renewals to where that, you know, that if you need it, it can be done. All right? And we just do that in the Lord, okay? All right, so we're going now down to Terrence's. If you need to follow somebody, you know, most of you know where we're going to have the baptismal service, and just pray that the Lord would bless and guide each and every one. And if you have a need to be baptized, we'd be glad to baptize anybody when we get there, and all because we believe it. This kind of a weather, don't matter if you go home with wet clothes on. It wouldn't hurt a thing, would it? And all, it'd just be nice. It'd be probably pretty good and cool. But, you know, we'll go do that, and all, just pray. We're glad to have our brother with us and all, and we pray that he will make up his mind maybe and come and preach for us next weekend. I told him at least maybe one service, because we wouldn't, you know. But we're trying to just be whatever he can do. That's up to him. He can let me know and everything, but we will ask him if he will to dismiss us in prayer as we go up to the water baptism. Okay, brother. And Brother Obadiah, it doesn't do any good to say you can't speak. You got to have an interpreter, because Sister Anna's here. You say, well, wait a minute. We had a brother from Brazil, Brother Cesar, with us, what, last weekend? Was that when it was? Last Sunday. And Sister Tanisha back there, she interpreted for him and done a wonderful job. So we have no excuses around here. We'll take them, everyone, away from you. All right, you're dismissed. God bless you. Bye.